Amen.
I'll tell you, when they told us about that mass, I have to finish telling you the story, but Kim was with the heart of the doctor's office, we've been worried to death, and when he entered off the field, said, well, turn around here, well, look. And said, you want to watch? And he said, yeah. He said, well, there's nothing there. And I tell you what, I said, thank you, God. He said, well, hallelujah. And I said, yes.
Yeah.
We almost had a little revival or shout in there, but anyway, I was so thankful. And you know, if we just give him everything, just give it to him. And I trust and know that he's going to save our.
Yes. Amen.
She loved Jesus, the name of Jesus. She loved the story of Jesus. And if she could just believe it with her heart and soul, they'll save her.
Yeah.
But she gets saved to count them.
Yes.
It's so good to be here today. I really need it. It's not love, everybody here.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Davison. All right. Anyone else with a testimony? God bless you, Sister Meredith. Maybe somebody else wants to testify. We enjoyed the song by the Carlock family. Things do look different from the shepherd's point of view, don't they?
Yes.
And so I enjoyed that song. The Carlock family's meant a lot to this church. As they were singing, I thought about Brother Doris and Sister Sarah, and about the times when all these girls got saved around this altar, you know. And their influence is still living on, and we're thankful for that. I have two more announcements. A week from tonight, Brother Michael Carter will be preaching, and it'll be at 6 o'clock a week from tonight. And the other announcement is 2 weeks from today, we'll be going to Hartsville to make a tape for the old-fashioned gospel hour. We'll be taping at 3 o'clock, and we want a big crowd to go. So if you can at all, make your plans to go with us. We want to look as good as we can. I say this real often, we're not in show business, but we do represent the Lord Jesus. And we want to be a good representative of the Lord Jesus. So go with us and help us as we do a program for the old-fashioned gospel hour.
Before that, and they brought their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and I miss their parents. I miss them. I look around and see so many that are not here anymore, but we know that they're with the Lord, and we're happy for them, but it's sad to look around and to, you know, to miss them, and it's good for us to have the memories and miss them, but the Carlock family has really been workers for the Lord and workers for this church, and they're involved in everything that is going on in the church, and I just want to tell them I love them and appreciate all of them.
Amen.
Others too.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Wright. All right. Business meeting tonight. Thank you. Yeah, our regular business meeting is tonight. Okay, thank you, Brother Sanford. Well, I'm going to delay the reading of my scripture lesson until later on in the sermon. But I want to talk to you today, and I want to use as my subject title, our 2020 vision. Our 2020 vision. This is the year 2020, and we need to have a vision. Our natural vision is very important to us, isn't it? And most of us, as we've gotten older, we have lost some of our vision. And we go to the optometrist, and so they examine our eyes, and they tell us, you know, if we need correction, or if we have 20/20 vision, perfect vision. And I'm glad that they are able to correct our vision, you know, when it gets bad. But our spiritual vision is important too. You know, we need to have spiritual vision. Solomon said in the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and I believe the 18th verse, he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. The justification for our existence is rescuing the perishing, you know. Jesus talked when he was here. He preached his own gospel. One of the things that he said was, repent or perish. And people who are not saved are in the process of perishing. We die daily. You know, we start out as a baby, and we grow up and become adults, and then we begin to decline, you know. And the Bible says, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, that man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And it's bad to lose any of your loved ones. It's even bad to lose your loved ones who are saved and who have left a testimony that they're going to heaven when this life is over. But it is awful, the tragedy of all tragedies, for a person to die without God and without hope. And so it's our responsibility to try to rescue the perishing, those that are without God and without hope in the world. And I wanted you to think about this. What is our vision for 2020? I read in the Bible about the Apostle Paul. He was on his way to Asia. That was his intentions. He wanted to go there. But one night in a vision, in a dream, the Lord gave to him a vision. And in that vision, he saw a man of Macedonia. And the man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the Bible said that he interpreted that dream as being that God was showing him that he needed to go into Macedonia and preach the gospel. So he got a vision of what he needed to do. I hope that God will give us a clear and sharp vision as a church of what we need to do in 2020. I pray that God will, burden our hearts, that we will feel the need, to dedicate ourselves to trying to reach lost people. I would really like for our focus in this coming year to be the salvation of lost souls. There are a lot of good things that we can do and the good things that the church does. But one of the greatest things that we can do is to preach the gospel to the lost and the dying and to point them to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so I want us to have a good vision for the future, for this coming year. And Peter got a vision too. The Bible tells us about Peter. He was down in Joppa at the house of one Simon the Tanner. And while he was waiting for them to prepare lunch, he went up on the housetop And while he was up there, instantly he got really hungry, you know. I suppose all of us have had those hunger pains, you know. Our physical body, wants nourishment. And while he was up there, he became very hungry. And immediately he fell into a trance. And God let down a sheet, as it were a sheet, into his midst. And that sheet was full of all kinds of beasts, both clean and unclean. And there was a voice that said to him, Peter, rise and eat. And Peter, being a Jew, having been brought up under the Jewish law, and he had been taught that certain animals were unclean, that they were not to be eaten, he said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever passed over my lips. And you know, this all took place because God had a plan for Peter. He was going to lead Peter to do something that he probably thought he would never do. There was a Gentile man and his family who were in need of salvation. And God was preparing Peter to go and preach the gospel to these Gentile people. Now, in the culture of the Jews back in that day, they were known as the people of God. And everybody else was known as heathens. They were not the people of God. And they did not mix with them. And they looked down upon them as being unworthy of the gospel. So God was going to prepare Peter to go and present the gospel to those whom he deemed perhaps unworthy of the gospel. In fact, that phrase is used after so long a time. Paul, he said he had been preaching to the Jews, and we read after the persecution and the martyr of Stephen, that the church was scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching to none but the Jews only. The gospel is for everybody. And so God had to prepare Peter to do this work that he wanted to do, and wanted him to do. And he gave him this vision. This happened three different times. That sheet was taken up, and then it was let down again. And every time the same message. Peter, rise, slay, and eat. And Peter would say, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever passed over my lips. And God said to him, Peter, what I have cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. And then the voice said to him, Peter, there are some men down at the gate waiting for you. You go down there. And he said, you do whatever they ask you to do. If they ask you to go with them, you go with them. And don't you doubt. And so he went downstairs. And when he got down there, they were waiting for him. And they said, we have come. We've been sent down here to get you, to bring you back to Caesarea, and to preach the gospel. To show Cornelius and his family what they need to do to be saved. And so Peter arose and he went with them. The first thing he said when he got there, he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And I want you to know today that God is no respecter of persons. He wants every person. Regardless of their national origin or their religion or the color of their skin, I want you to know God loves the soul of every one of them just alike. There is no respect of persons with God. And He wants everyone to hear the gospel. And when we stop and think about the power of the gospel and how it can change the lives of people, and how it can prepare them for eternity. How they can have their sins forgiven and be justified in the eyes of God. Regardless of what sins they may have committed, they can be forgiven them. And they can have peace with God. So, Paul got a vision of what he needed to do. Peter got a vision of what he needed to do. And I hope God will give us a vision of what we need to do. That we can lay aside every weight and the sins that do so easily beset us. And we can run with patience the race that's set before us. I thought about this passage of Scripture. It's in the book of Habakkuk. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But the Lord answered Habakkuk. And he said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry. I thought about this, and God gave Habakkuk a vision. And he said, this vision is true. It's not going to lie to you. He said, it may be a while before it is fully realized. But you wait for it. And it will not tarry. It will come. And he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not right in him. But the just shall live by faith. It takes faith to serve the Lord. We have to have faith. God gives us a vision. He shows us what it is that we need to do. And you know, we need to have God's timing. Sometimes we try to do things on our own. But we need to wait on God. Because God will never fail. He always comes through, and the vision that we have, God will bring it to pass. I really believe that. He gave us an existence here in Bowling Green as a church. And He has a real purpose for us. And we need, as I talked last Sunday about, the church is made up of many members, and not all are present all at the same time. But where two or three are gathered together in His name, He'll be in the midst. And so the Lord will be with us. And He'll help us to accomplish what He purposed with this church of being established in here in Bowling Green. Now I want to go on just a little bit. We have another church, a record of it in the book of Revelations. It's the book of Laodicea, or the church of Laodicea. And they had a vision, but it wasn't a good vision, They saw themselves, and maybe I ought to turn over there and read this for our good and for the glory of God. It says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Now here's why the Lord said that. They were lukewarm. He said, because thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. He said, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They did not have a vision, of what the church needed to be doing. The vision that they had was of themselves. That they were... increased with goods and they were rich and they didn't need anything, you know. They were just self-satisfied. But he said to them, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the nakedness of thy shame do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, he said. And so this vision that this church had was of themselves and how satisfied they were. But I tell you, we need to have a vision today of people that are lost and in sin and that are on their way to death and destruction. And we need to, to dedicate ourselves to the vision that God has for us. Now, I want to read some scripture, and I'll be done pretty soon. But Paul, writing in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, I know we read that and we apply it to Paul, and it certainly did apply to Paul. But Paul wasn't applying it to himself alone. It doesn't say, therefore, seeing I have this ministry, but we have this ministry. The church, the commission was given to the church and to the congregation, the assembly of believers. We have the commission. Certainly the pastor or the preacher of the church, he is the spokesman for the preaching of the gospel. The ministry is more than just the pastor preaching the gospel. There is a work for everybody to do. And we all need to be involved in the work of the Lord. Now he said, seeing therefore we have this ministry, and we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. I know we're weak, and I know we have lots of problems, and a lot of difficulties. We don't want to faint. We don't want to falter. We want to keep going. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Within ourselves we can do nothing. Jesus told us that. But in the power of the Lord we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Paul said, we have denounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel, now I want you to notice the plural in all of these verses of Scripture. If our gospel, he didn't say if my gospel be hid, but he said if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we, all of us, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen, we are troubled on every hand, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not cast down. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Quotation of the psalmist. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now listen. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. He said, for which cause we faint not. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now that's my scripture lesson for today. There's no set way of doing this, you know. We kind of have a pattern that we follow, you know. But we don't have to do that. We need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to get before you today a vision. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, Paul said, if we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And he said in Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth about with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we need to have a vision. I want to ask you a question, and I don't expect you to answer it audibly, but I just want to ask you, how do you see our church? What do you see us doing in the coming year? Is our attendance going to drop, and you know, and people lose interest and faint and give up? I hope nobody feels that way. I hope that we have a vision of this church going forward. I hope we have a vision of the church growing. I hope we see have a vision of lost people being saved. I don't doubt in the world, but what there are a number of people. Now, I saw one person come to the altar that was not saved to pray with us when we prayed. And I appreciate that. I appreciate it. But I don't doubt but what there's a number of people in this audience today that haven't been saved. Young people. Maybe you've not acknowledged it yet, you know. Maybe you've reached that point in your life, you know you're not right with God. You're not prepared to die. You have that fear of dying without God and without hope in the world. And you know, we need to have faith. And I'm going to put this in too. You know, we say, well, I've got faith. Well, we all need faith. But the Bible also says faith without works is dead. It don't produce. Faith without works, you know, don't get anything done. It just don't get anything done. You can be saved and you can have faith. But you know, we need to put our faith to work. In the work of the Lord, in our church, you know. This is really important. I keep emphasizing this. And I hope you don't think that I'm emphasizing this for my benefit. I'm not. I'm emphasizing this for the benefit of these lost people that are here. For the people around us. For the next generation. I don't know how long the Lord's going to delay His coming, but He is coming. He is coming. And the Bible said, "Be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And the Bible says in the parable that the Lord Jesus taught, He said, when the Lord come, He said, those that were ready went in. The parable of the 10 virgins. You know, they were all waiting for the Master to come, the Lord to come. 10 were ready. 10 were not. When the Lord came, the 10 that were ready went in. And the 10 that were not were left out. Later they came knocking. "Lord, open to us." And He said, "I know you not from whence you are." One day we're going to face death. We all are. I'm expecting the Lord to say, "Welcome home. Welcome home." But if you're not saved, the words that will come from the Lord, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I'm emphasizing the importance of having a vision and following the vision and working while it is day. Because the night's coming when no man can work. My race is about to the end, you know. I know that. I know that. And I'm facing death with a thankful heart. Boy, I am. I'm thankful for my life. Not that I've done anything, but I'm thankful for what the Lord done for me. I thank the Lord that as a teenage boy, God preserved me from destroying my own life. I've never attempted suicide. Don't misunderstand me. But you know, I could have done things. And of course, I didn't know the Lord was going to call me into the ministry or anything. But I could have done things that would have disqualified me from the work of the ministry. But the Lord preserved me. You know, the Lord preserved me. And the Lord bless me. Give me a good wife to be the mother of my children. And while I was preaching, she was taking care of my kids. You know. And we saw them get saved. And what a blessing, you know. Seen thousands, I think thousands of people saved. It might not be thousands. I know hundreds. I know I've seen hundreds of people get saved. I've baptized a lot of people. Not bragging. I'm just thanking God for the privilege to have served Him down through these years. You know. Well, the Lord saw fit to call Jane home, you know. And she was sick a long time. She had two different kinds of cancer, you know. And she had total renal failure. And so finally, the disease got the best of her, you know. And she went home to be with the Lord. But you know, the Lord, He didn't forget me. He gave me another good wife, you know. Boy, I tell you, I thank God for every step of the way. I'm glad I've had the privilege to worship the Lord with you all these years. What a blessing you've been to me and in my life. I want you to be strong in the Lord. I want you to see the vision the important work that God has for us to do. I see in the coming year this church growing. I see these lost people getting saved. I see people uniting with the church that will make the church stronger and that will help her to be a light, a bright and a shining light in this community. And I believe it's going to happen. And I'm going to work toward it. I'm going to work toward it. God bless you. I could say a lot more, but I won't. Now I know it's 12:15. And some of you may be like Peter. You may be getting hungry. But I want us to do something. I want us to have a Christian handshake. I want us to fellowship with one another. I want us to pledge to each other that I'm going to do my best to support the church and to follow the vision that God will use us. Now, I've heard people say, well, I don't ever enter into a covenant because I might not be able to keep it. Well, we all understand that we don't know what the future holds for us. But while we're living and we have the opportunity, we can do it, can't we? We can do it. So let's stand. Let's shake hands with each other. Just take the time to do it today. I feel like it's needed. I feel like it's needed. Do you have 2020 vision for our church? Perfect vision? Can you see the Lord blessing it and all these lost people being saved? I hope you can. Let's sing and let's shake hands with each other.